Romans 10:9. Before I start the message here, God just put on my heart that I need to give a gospel message first. And so I'm gonna give the gospel out. And I don't know who it's to, but I reckon if God tells me to do it, I ought to. And I don't reckon we could ever hear the gospel too much. Amen. That's another thing that never gets old. So let's turn our Bibles to Romans 10, verse 9. I'm going to start out in prayer. Lord God, I just ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. You know I can't do this on my own, Lord. I'm not capable, Lord. I pray, Lord, you speak through me even though I'm unworthy, Lord, to feed your people, Lord. I pray, Lord, you fill them with your Holy Spirit throughout the week, Lord, that they would be a light, Lord. That they read your words, Lord, and that we wouldn't fall into a rut of being hearers only, Lord, not doers of your word, Lord God. I pray, Lord, you put a burden on our hearts, Lord. Speak through me tonight, Lord, and touch your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Romans 10:9. You know, I think as we grow up in church and we hear about hell and we hear about heaven, especially young children that grow up in church, you get so accustomed to hearing it and it loses the impact that it has. Hell becomes a place you hear about but you don't really think about. You know, heaven becomes a place that you think you're going to when you die and it loses fascination. And you lose your ambition, and it's easy to do to fall into a rut of that. But hell is a real place, and there is a judgment that everybody that's not saved is going to be. It says that there's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We may miss some appointments. I'm late to a lot of appointments. I have a real bad time about double booking and missing appointments and stuff like that. My wife has helped me out a lot with that. But there's one appointment nobody will ever miss, and that's the judgment. And that's not me telling you that. That's God telling you that. So I don't know who needs to hear this tonight. But there's an appointment for everybody in here, and just because you spent your whole life in church, or just because you look good on the outside, you're not going to miss that appointment, and you're not going to fool God. You're not going to fool God. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. He's not interested in how you play Christianity. He's not interested in you coming to church every day and going through the motions and not being saved. He wants to save your soul and give you His Holy Spirit and use you. And that's our starting point as Christians. You have to get saved. And that gospel was preached. It was preached hard. If you look in Romans 10, verse 8 there, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." They preached the word of faith. Here's what they preached. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Salvation is simple. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen. "For the scripture saith, whosoever, young, old, going to church your whole life, in the gutter your whole life, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall," not maybe, not might, not I hope, "shall be saved." "And then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We need to preach this gospel. This gospel saves. Have you believed? Have you called upon the Lord? That's what it's all going to come down to, is if you're saved or not saved. What have you done with Jesus Christ? You don't get a pass for living a good life. I don't know who needed to hear that, but that gospel needs to be preached.
Amen.
And that we need to preach it. How are they going to hear if we don't preach that gospel? Let's turn in your Bibles now to Ephesians 1:13-14. So once you're saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's easy to say that. And it's easy to even read those words, but I want you to really think about that. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, a part of God there. Let's go to Ephesians 1:13. "And whom ye also trusted," trusting in Jesus Christ, "after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is inside of you once you are saved. Once you're saved, I'm not saying that you're going to understand everything about the Bible. I'm not saying that you're going to know everything. You'll never know everything about God or the Bible.
Amen.
But as you learn, you'll have that Holy Spirit inside you, and there'll be something inside of you that says, "I have to tell other people about this." There'll be something that convicts you in your life that says, "I can't go along doing this anymore. I can't go along with these friends," and there'll be convictions and changes in your life because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Has that Holy Spirit sealed you? And if it has, you can't break that seal. That's the Holy Spirit that sealed you. If something else sealed you, you know, water can break it and seals bust. But if God seals you with this Holy Spirit, that's a seal that's not going to break. That's a hope that we can have, a promise from God. It's a seal. It says, with that Holy Spirit of promise. When God makes a promise, it's solid. It's good. And you have that promise. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Right.
If I make you a promise, I try to keep it. Man ought to be a man of his word, but men fail on their promises. No matter how good the man, they may fail on their promise. But God's not going to fail on His promises. He's not slack concerning His promise. And that goes both ways. If you're saved, you can rest safe and assured in that promise. If you're lost, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't called upon His name, that promise is condemning you. It's condemning you. So, now check this next verse out. This is one of my favorite verses here. Verse 14, talking about the Holy Spirit that seals you, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." That Holy Spirit is given to us in earnest. So it's like I look at it like a down payment on a house. When you're wanting to buy a house, sometimes they'll ask for earnest money. And to show them that you're serious, you give them some money to say, "Yeah, I'm serious about this offer." Well, God gives us an earnest of the Holy Spirit to say He's serious about His promise of redeeming us. And you can rest assured in that Holy Spirit. And how awesome a thing it is to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, guiding you, directing you, seeking Him. And you can quench that Holy Spirit, though, with sin in your life, not following God. And that Holy Spirit's in there saying, "You got to straighten up. You got to straighten up." And really what I want to talk about tonight is going to work for God. Going to work for God. God has given us a job. Every single one of us that are saved, if you're saved and that Holy Spirit is living inside of you, you have a job to do. And nobody gets out of the job. Everybody has a job. Turn to Romans 12 for us, please. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has an important role to play. And Satan tries to make light of that. Tries to make light of working for God and tries to get you to work in things of this world. And it's all a sideshow to what actually is important in life. You have that Holy Spirit inside of you that wants to do a work. And I can't tell you exactly what that work is. I can read the scriptures to you, and if you get to work, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and direct you to exactly what He wants you to do. All right, Ephesians 12 here. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You are purchased. You are a purchased possession of God. Let that sink in for a second. When you were saved and that Holy Spirit's living inside of you, you're purchased by God, by His Son's blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ purchased you. It is your reasonable service to serve Him. Your body, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so, have you presented your body as a living sacrifice? Have you said, "God, whatever you want me to do with my life, whatever I've got going on, I'll put it aside to serve you"? Because at the end of the day, you're never going to regret serving God. and presenting your body as a living sacrifice. But the devil will steal your life away as you dedicate it to all different types of things in this world. And what I want to ask you tonight is, have you presented your body a living sacrifice to God? If you're not presenting your body a living sacrifice to God, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. And it's not an unreasonable thing he's asking. It's a reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. What's holding you back in this world from presenting your body as a living sacrifice? Is it, well, if I serve God with everything I have, I might lose some money. You know, is it, I might lose some friends. If I give God, if I sell out to God and give everything to God, some friends will think I'm a fanatic. Is that what's holding you back? It's not worth it. Friends, family. Family's a rough one. I watched my dad have family members that didn't talk to him for a while. And some of those family members later on got saved.
Amen.
It's worth taking the stand. It's worth giving your body a living sacrifice. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. Are you giving your body a living sacrifice? That means whatever God asks you to do, we don't say no to God. That's what I want to encourage you to do tonight, whatever it may be. Is that you don't have time for God because you're so caught up in the works of this world that when God asks you to do something, you say, I'll get to it. Is there sin in your life that's keeping you from serving God, from giving Him everything that you have? Because you say, well, I really like that sin, and I know if I'm going to give my body a living sacrifice, God wants me to get rid of that sin. It's not worth it. And at the end of your days, you're going to be sorry. You spent all that time holding on to a sin, or holding on to money, or holding on to friends, or holding on to family, when God wants to do something with your life. What's keeping you from being a living sacrifice for God? The expectation once you're saved is to live for God. God doesn't just save you just so you can miss hell. He bought and paid for you with His blood so that way you can serve Him. And too often times you have these modern crowds and modern preachers that say, okay, just get saved and then go live the rest of your life in joy. And there's no repentance a lot of times. You don't know whether they're really saved or not because it's such a weak and watered down gospel. And Christianity isn't so that you can just punch a ticket and go live the rest of your life however you want to. God wants to use you. That Holy Spirit inside of you is telling you to do something to serve God. You've got a job to do. And by not doing it, there are consequences to everybody around you that you probably aren't even realizing. There's a job that God wants you to do. And so, are you presenting yourself a living sacrifice? And God's not happy with laziness or complacency. He wants all of you. He's not, you know, oh, I'll take half of you and we're good. He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole gamut. If you remember the Laodicean church age, he says he spews them out of their mouth. Why? Because they were lukewarm. Yeah. They wanted to sit halfway on the fence and say, yeah, I'll go to church. Yeah, you know, I'll do some events or something like that. But I'm not dedicated. I don't want to be one of those fanatics that always talk about God, that have to bring them up all the time. You can't have a good time with those people in the world's eyes. And that's what the world pushes 24/7. If you make every church service, you'll hear roughly about 3 hours of preaching a week. 3 hours out of the entire week. And the world preaches at you nonstop. If you stop at the gas station on your way to church, it's preaching at you. You turn on the radio, even a Christian radio, the world's going to preach at you through that. The world doesn't care, and they push and they push and they push. What are you dedicating and selling out to God? It's our whole thing is living for God. And God wants what's best for you. He's not going to give you a task or a job to do that He wants to see you fail in. You know, sometimes I'll ask my boys to do harder jobs, you know, that I know and believe they can do, and I'll watch them to make sure they succeed, because I want them to succeed. And they may look at that and go, Dad, I think that's impossible for me to do. You know, I remember David hooking up his first cows. And he's holding the milker up there, and I come behind him and kind of help push up the milker and help him click one on it. I don't know if I'll ever get this, Dad. And we got the step stool there, and we sat him on it. It was a hard job for him to do. And eventually, he's hooking up milkers all on his own now. And God, when He gives you a job to do, He will give you the grace to do that job. He's not going to just send you out and let you fail. If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, He's going to help you complete the task He gave you to do. It might be a bumpy road to get there. Ask Paul, he had a thorn in his side. It's not always smooth sailing. But when the Holy Spirit is with you, He'll give you the grace. His grace is sufficient for whatever job He gives you to do. What He's asking you to do is present your body a living sacrifice. Have you presented your body a living sacrifice? And let's read the next verse. Verse 2, Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you conformed to this world? The world will not stop trying to conform you just because you're a Christian. And even when you make a bold stance for God and you stand for God, the world doesn't say, okay, I'm backing off now. Till the day you're born, till the day you die, this world is going to practice and work to conform you. And you're either going to start conforming and not realize it, or you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The Word of God. Coming to church, hearing preaching, singing. That renew your mind. You have to constantly renew your mind. You have to think about what the blood of Jesus Christ means to you. You have to think about, what does God want me doing right now, today? What do you want me doing this week? Ask God, what do you want me to do? And start doing it. Start doing it. Start getting in His words. If you're not hearing from God, get in His words and pray. Spend more time in prayer. But the world won't stop trying to conform you. Do people at your workplace know you're a Christian? How long does it take for somebody to be around you to know that you're a Christian? It shouldn't take long. Especially in this dark world, that light sticks out kind of like a sore thumb. Nowadays, if you're against sodomy, you stick out like a sore thumb. As a Christian, people should know you're a Christian right away. Too often times, what really upsets me is I'll talk to somebody and start giving out the gospel, and then they'll say they're a Christian. And I couldn't tell a thing by their whole lifestyle that they were a Christian. And they know the gospel. But they're mixed in with the world. They're conformed to the world so much. That Holy Spirit's so quenched inside of them that you can't tell the difference between them and the world.
Right.
How do people know you're a Christian? Sometimes people know you're a Christian because you're like, well, I wish I could go do all that fun stuff, but I can't because I'm a Christian. Or they go do the sin with them, but the whole time they're feeling guilty about it. And so what's that tell people in the world? I want what they have so I can feel guilty when I go do the same thing they do?
Yeah.
That's not a witness.
Right.
That's not transformed. That's not renewing your mind. Are you renewing your mind? Are you showing them something better than this world has to offer? Because God will. When Christianity tends to explode is when under Christian persecution. Because people see that that's real.
Yeah.
Are you renewed in your mind? Because the world's pushing you nonstop. You know, that pastor gave that example today of that little girl that was so upset about hearing cursing. And she had to go renew her mind because she wanted to get that cursing out. And that hit me. How often we need to renew our mind because this world is pushing so much garbage on it. And yet we just let it sit with us and we don't renew our mind. In order to present yourself a living sacrifice, to be transformed from this world, you need to be renewing your mind. And fathers, that's part of our job for our families, is to make sure our children are renewing their mind and showing them an example of that. You know, it takes actually studying the Word of God. God commands us to study His Word. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We can read God's Word, and that's good. We should spend time reading God's Word. But I'm talking more than just reading God's Word. When do you get in there and study it? You get a concordance out and you look at different words and you look at this verse and see what it's saying over here and actually get in there and study the Word of God to rightly divide it. Working at it. We should study to show ourselves approved. That's how we renew our mind. Because when you're studying something, you tend to think about it throughout the day. It tends to stay on your mind. You know, I've studied for classes, and right before that final exam comes up, I'm cramming, and that's all I'm thinking about. You know, if we were that way with the Word of God and studying it, when I have to prepare for a sermon, I find myself studying and entrenched, and I'm like, I wish I was this way all the time. And it's sad. But we should be studying the Word of God. And God speaks through you, and He transforms you without you even realizing it, because of what God is saying to you and speaking through you with that Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 3 here. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the thing is, a lot of times we start serving God, and we start trying to follow for do what He tells us to do, and we go, you know what? I did visitation. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I don't think that guy's doing visitation. And we get cocky. And you get that pride seeps in. And you start conforming back to the world. So you have to fight that. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You're just doing your reasonable service. Yeah. And the sad part is, when a Christian starts doing their reasonable service, we think we're something special. Yeah. We think, we're top notch now because we've done our reasonable service. And we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But it says, think soberly. If you consider what God has done for you, it's the least we could do. And the last I've seen, I haven't seen Christians getting burned on the stake. Maybe a Christian might lose their job if they speak up for Him. Well worth it. It's well worth it to suffer for Christ. And the suffering that we have in the United States is not very much right now. It might be here in a little bit, but it's not right now. So we should use this opportunity to easily go out there and preach the gospel. All right, let's keep reading here. One more thing I want to say on that. I think the secret here to being happy at church, if you want to find yourself happy with church, is get busy and get involved with serving God in the church. Stop focusing on all the little details that you don't like about the church, and those won't matter to you the more involved you are with a church. The bigger you play a role in that church, the happier you'll find yourself to be. You know, I think of my little kids. Sometimes they'll have these toys, and then they got food, and they get all these things, and they start to get unhappy with all of it. You know, they want the next toy, the next thing, the next this, the next that. And we're a lot that way. If I give that kid a job to do, something simple as picking up some trash or stacking a little wood, they get a smile on their face, and they've got a job, and they feel like they're contributing. And we're that same way a lot of times. If we start contributing and start getting involved with our church, whatever capacity God's putting on your heart, and I guarantee you He's putting something on your heart, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, to be involved with that church, to be involved serving Him. And then those little things that seem to bother you, they'll stop mattering as much. Because when you go out into the world and you see how wicked and nasty that is, and you're trying to be a light, and you get around other Christians, sure, they've got flaws, but they love God. And so there's a love back for them. And it becomes a blessing. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. We sit around, we can find something wrong with just about everybody around here. If we focus on God and serving Him, we'll be more encouraged. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 4:1. Ephesians 4:1. We've got a job to do. Every Christian has a job to do. You might say, well, I'm young, I don't know what to do. You know, or I'm older and I don't think I have a job that's very relevant anymore. I'm telling you, the Bible says you've got a job to do. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye might be called. It's not how it reads. It says that wherewith ye are called. Without a doubt, you are called to a vocation. If you're saved, you're in this group here. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You're called to do a job. Husbands, we have a job to do. Are you, not the pastor, but are you loving your wife, washing her with the water of the Word? Because only you can take care of her the way God gave you the ability to do it. And she can learn a lot from the pastor and learn a lot from teaching. But God gave you a job to do with washing her with the Word of God. Do you pray over her? That's your job as a husband. It's one of our jobs is to wash our wife with the washing of the Word and take care of her and to teach her the Word of God and to pray for her. Are you teaching your children or your grandchildren about God and studying with them and teaching them how to study? That's part of our job as husbands, as grandfathers. That's part of our job. Listen, we're losing our families to this world because men have stopped doing their job as husbands and they've given it to somebody else and they can't do it the way God told them to do it. If God gave you a job, He didn't give it to somebody else to do it for you. He gave you a job to do and He wants you to do it. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. If God gave you a job as a husband, He wants you to do the job He gave you to do. You say, well, I don't know how to start teaching my family. God will give you the grace to do the job He gave you to do. You didn't accidentally become a husband. God gave you children. He didn't give you children and say, good luck raising them. He will give you the grace to raise those children the way He wants you to. We need to wake up. You know, if we have a worker who sits at the water table all day long, he becomes a burden to everybody around him. Because you're counting on him to help you with some part of the job and he's not doing it. Wives, you also have an important job to do. Are you praying for your husband and your children? Keeping the home, teaching your children, studying the Bible. We all have jobs to do. Children have an important job to do. Being obedient children, as you walk around in this world, people notice that your children are obedient and it's a witness for God. Everybody's got a job to do. Are you walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called? Grandparents have an important job to do, an important role to play, passing down wisdom. Hopefully they've been studying the Word of God and they have that wisdom or a trade to pass down that they can be. Are you doing your job? This is just some jobs that generically we all have. We all have this type of job to do if you're a husband, a child, a wife. It doesn't matter who you are. Even if you don't, we never got married. God still has a job, a special and important job for you to do. The devil will say, oh, there's nothing important for you to do. You don't have a job to do. Follow into the world. God says you have a job. Let's see about carrying out this job. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Sometimes when you get to working real hard, and you look over at the guy next to you and you go, he's not working as hard as I am. And you start getting on to him and start getting proud. That's why it says, with all lowliness. Do your job and you don't have to tell everybody about it. Because God knows and He's the one you're trying to serve. And you're not slipping by God and He's not recognizing it. And He'll reward you and bless you. You might not see it on this life, but I guarantee you there's a blessing for serving God.
Amen.
A bigger blessing than this world will give you ever for serving in the world. The world will just eat you for serving Him. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. When you do your job, you also make it easier for other Christians around you to do their job. You show a good example of somebody at work. And if I see somebody that's working hard next to me, a lot of times it encourages me, I better step up the pace. If I see Christians saying, hey, we need to go give out the gospel, we need to be doing this. You know, if they're singing songs, if they're praising God, it encourages you because you see them doing their job. Let's go on here. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We're serving the same God. It's not like we're all on the same team. We have different jobs, but we're all on the same team. And when you're working together and serving the same God, it brings unity. It brings unity when we're all working together. When you have a bunch of idle people sitting around doing nothing for God, it tears itself apart. It unravels. You're not working together. You're going to start to eat yourself up. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know, if you show up to a church and you go, well, what do they have to offer me? What do they got for me? Do they have the right children's program? Do they have this? What do they have? What's gonna help me? You're probably going to end up finding yourself miserable in that church. If you approach a church and say, what does God have me to do that I can be a blessing for somebody else? I guarantee God's going to show you how you can be a blessing to somebody else. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do to be a blessing to somebody else. and you'll enjoy church and you enjoy seeing Christians in the church. And it breeds that unity. And God will give you the grace. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So God saves you. He gives you the grace to do your job. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. And then he gives you gifts. He gives you gifts. And he'll give you gifts to do different types of jobs that other people can't do. You know, there's some people have really good gifts of singing. You know, they can get up here and sing a special that blesses everybody's heart. I don't have that gift. And I can get a blessing through someone else singing. And there's all different types. My wife, you know, she can cook a meal that people like to eat, unlike me. And that could be a blessing. There's so many things. Jail ministry. There's all types of blessings that you can be if you're seeking to serve God and say, God, what would you have me to do? And just start doing stuff. Start reading your Bible, getting in there and saying, and maybe asking the pastor, you got anything that needs done? Is there a ministry I can get involved with? Can I hand out tracts? God will show you and direct you and guide you to the job He wants you to do. Don't tell yourself it doesn't matter. Don't stop doing your job if you are doing your job. I want to encourage you. It's an encouragement when people are doing their job. You know, when you're building a construction wall, or say like if you're putting up a wall, you got a bottom plate, studs, and a top plate. You know, those studs need the top plate and they need the bottom plate. You know, and let's go to verse 16 here. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God has fitly formed His church together. He's got a job He wants you to do. The stud shouldn't be worried about doing the top plate's job, and the bottom plate shouldn't be worried about doing the top plate's job or the stud's job. You do your job. You have a role to play in that wall. It's fitly formed together. God has said, I want this person to do this job, and He'll put it on your heart. And if you follow the Holy Spirit, He'll give you the grace to do that job the way He wants it done. Now, you can take one of those studs out, and that wall will still stand. It's a little weaker. You can take a couple of those studs out, and the wall will still stand, but it's weaker. We need you to do your job. If you don't do your job, that whole church gets weaker. The church relies on its members to do their job. Christians need to stand up and do their job. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll finish there. Sorry, I'm running a little late. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. The idols back in the world are dumb. That's what the Bible says. No. But you were carried away with those. That's something you used to do. You're not supposed to keep on following these dumb idols. They can't talk to you. They can't feed you. They can't give you the grace. You were led by them. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost inside of you if you're saved. God gives you the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. We have a bunch of different things. Churches do things differently. You know, offering in the back there, or pews the way they're set up. There's all different types of administrations. We read Scripture together as a church, and that's a blessing, that's a good thing. God sets it up all differently. We're not to tear it apart. It's the same God. It's the same Lord that we're serving. And God says there's different ways to administer. There's differences in all that. But what I really want to grab onto here is verse 7. But with the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. God gives you a gift. He gives you the Holy Spirit, not so just you can profit yourself and see what you can get out of it. He gives you that Holy Spirit. He gives you a gift. He gives you ability so you can profit with all. It profits everybody around you. You take that gift away and you hide it and you don't do it, it hurts everybody in that whole church. Because God set it up that way, that we rely on each other and need each other. He's the one that builds that church. That's the way God set it up. And God will give you the grace to do that job. You know, I think of at a fire scene, we'll show up and you have a truck company, you have an engine company, you have another truck company, and three engine companies, two truck companies. Everybody's got a different job. Somebody's got the job to show up and set a box fan up or a big fan to blow all the smoke out. So that way the heat gets out of the house and you can see better in the house. Somebody's got a job to pull the hose and bring it into the house to go put the fire out. Somebody's got a job to go hook up to that hydrant. Somebody's got a job to maybe cut a hole on the top of the roof. Somebody's got a job to search. Everybody has different jobs. And we all need each other to do our job, to do the overall goal. And that's the way God set it up with the church. He's given us all different jobs, and I'm relying on you and you're relying on me to fulfill and do your job. If I'm in a house trying to put out a fire and they didn't set up the ventilation right, that heat can bear down on me and get you burned. If somebody doesn't cut the vent hole on the top, the heat will never escape. If somebody doesn't go in there and do the search, you don't find the victims. You know, with the walk with God, if God has told you to go out there and do visitation and you don't do it, it's not getting done and somebody's relying on you to do it. If God puts it on your heart to go pray for somebody and you don't do it, that person just didn't get prayed for. We all rely on each other in a multitude of different jobs that God has given each one of you and given you the grace to complete it. And yet sometimes we just sit on our hands. Or we just say, they won't miss us if we don't show up to church. It matters. It matters. That's Satan whispering in your ear saying it doesn't matter. You didn't get that from God. You know, let's keep going here. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, or let's go verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Amen.
There's all different types of jobs. You think about that word of wisdom. Sometimes God will have you studying something if you're faithful to do your Bible study, and you'll be studying something, and then that problem will come up in someone's life, and you get that scripture ready for them, a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. Sometimes God will have you go down through different experiences in life, and then you have knowledge about that to minister to somebody else. You know, like a lost loved one or hurt back or whatever it may be, God may give you knowledge on a certain topic, not so you can keep it to yourself, but so you can go help somebody else. Faith. There's people that have faith that move mountains. You know, I think of moving cows with my children. David, a lot of times, he'll stop me and say, "Dad, let's pray. And God will help us move these cows." That's a gift that God has given him. And I'm like, "You're right. Let's do it." And,
amen.
You know? We hear healing. You know, I'm not talking about Benny Hinn get up and slap somebody down. Unfortunately, the Satan gets in there and tries to manipulate and pervert things of God. There's a lot of different ways. There is physical healing that God does. He does do that. But there's also healing emotionally that you come and hear a song and it blesses your heart and starts to heal wounds that nobody even knows about. Sometimes somebody just coming up, patting you on the back or shaking your hand and saying they love you heals you. Are you doing your job? Are you following the Holy Spirit? Everyone has a different job. You might say, "I don't know what my job is or what my gift is." I'd say don't worry too much about it. Just get busy serving God with your life. Get involved in everything you can possibly get involved with. This is a lost and dying world. There's water coming in all over the place. Just start shoveling it out and getting busy and working for God. Jump in the jail ministry. If you get uncomfortable with that, jump in another ministry. Get involved with the sound booths. There's so many different things that can be done. Just get involved. Start going. Do something for God before your life passes you by and you've done nothing for God and sat on your hands. You know, I think of one time and I was hunting and I crouched by a tree and it was cold out. I'm not a very good hunter, so I sat for a long, long time. It got dusk and I started seeing some deer. I'm like, maybe if I stood up. And I could tell my leg was kind of asleep, but when I went to actually stand, I came right back down. My leg was out of sleep. And I think of that with the church and the body. Your body needs every ligament. Just stubbing your toe can set you back quite a bit. It can. Hit your hand with your fingernail with a hammer. You'll realize you needed that finger more than you realized. How many of us, though, are asleep? And the whole church is suffering because you're just sitting there asleep. We've got to wake up. We've got to start serving God. Present your body a living sacrifice. Are you asleep? How long are you going to sleep? Are you doing your job as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, as a child? Are you doing your job? God will give you the grace. And we don't want to get in the trap of being envious of other people's jobs either. As that passage goes, it talks about the uncomely parts. You know, if you're doing jobs to get glory for yourself and not bring glory to God, that's the wrong motivation. And you won't get the blessing and you'll mess that whole job that God gave you up. Because God's not in it for you to get glory. Our heart should be to serve God and that He gets the glory. And He'll give you the grace to do the job He's asked you to do. That's all I've got.